I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Go Glow podcast with Dan Buettner. We all have a story, and I believe by telling these stories, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey and help each other along the way. This season, I've teamed up with Vichy. Vichy is a doctor-founded dermocosmetic brand with 90 years of skincare expertise. Vichy has established the link between health and beauty and led the way in skincare innovation. Powered by active ingredients, product formulations are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making Vichy a pioneer in skin health science. Taking a holistic approach to skin health, Vichy is committed to provide safe and effective skincare routines for every skin type at every life stage. All Vichy products are available in local pharmacies nationwide. Welcome to the Gut Glow. I am so excited to bring this episode to you. It is such a happy, positive episode of the Gut Glow podcast. So as I was moving through the summer, I noticed that, you know, we're all getting more connected with each other. The dinner parties are back on. We're just coming together more, and I think feeling the joy of that. So I wanted to talk to my friend Dan Buettner and have him explain to us the importance of that and all the incredible benefits that that has on our health. So Dan founded the Blue Zones. They're the regions in the world where people live the longest and they're the healthiest. They include specific regions in Japan, Italy, Costa Rica, Greece, and California. So in studying these people, Dan found that they had 9 common lifestyle habits, and they were to move naturally, to have a daily downshift, they have a plant slant in their diet, they have wine at 5, they have a sense of belonging, they put their loved ones first, and they have the right tribe. So the reason I wanted to talk to Dan today is I want to find out how we can live like this in Ireland, because we're not going to move to the Blue Zones and live happily ever after. But how can we bring those really good habits into our own homes and our own communities and really spread the love? So I'm really grateful for Dan for coming on today. And one of my favorite answers ever on the Good Glow is when he speaks about his dinner parties. So look out for that question and answer, and I'd love to know if you will try that yourself. You know, when I speak to Dan, I always think about my life, and, you know, it wasn't that I was unhealthy before I got sick, but I definitely went around the supermarket and filled my trolley high with fruit and vegetables, and then found at the end of the week that I hadn't eaten any of them. So my intention was good. I wanted to be happier and healthier, but I never followed through with it. So I think after this podcast today, you're going to be asking yourself some questions. 1, what is going to make my body sing? What can I do today for my future self? And what can I do today to move myself forward in a positive way? Before we get into Dan, I just wanted to say thank you to every single one of you who have registered for the September reset. I'm blown away by the amount of us doing this challenge together. I'm going to be your coach for 14 days from September 5th. So this challenge is a perfect opportunity to re-energize, refocus, and discover what we can bring to our lives for the last 4 months of the year. Each day on our website, new content will be unlocked with daily coaching, and we're also going to include meditations and visualizations and a workbook. So it's time to say yes to change, it's time to say yes to growth, and it's time to say yes to yourself, because we deserve happiness, we deserve good health, and we deserve self-love. I'm so excited for us to do this together. And if you'd like to head over to thegoodglow.ie for more information, or click on the link in the episode show notes. I'd love to hear your feedback on this episode. Please let me know what you think and share it with someone who might need to hear this today. I liked my little handwritten note on my last book. I felt very special.
Well, you are special. I really mean it. I so admire you. You just exude warmth.
Oh my God, so
do
you.
I don't say that about any people.
Oh, thank you so much, Dan. And it's so good to have you back on The Good Glow. And, You know, I always say to you that I love the Blue Zone way. I love that you don't have to be too hard on yourself. It's about, you know, hanging out with your family and your neighbors, making friends, eating really good food, having the occasional glass of wine. So I really lean into that. What can we do to create a happier, healthier life?
Well, you know, as you know, I spent 20 years finding and studying the statistically longest lived people. And the first thing you notice is they're not suffering from the chronic diseases that are foreshortening our lives. They're not trying to do anything. They're not on a diet. They're not counting their calories or obsessing about protein or carb or fat. They're not doing pumping iron or doing triathlons or doing CrossFit or buying supplements and spending a lot of money on superfoods. They're just living their lives. The key insight, Georgie, is that the longest lived people live in environments where the healthy choice is the easy choice. And the whole idea behind the Blue Zone Challenge was to show people how, in an evidence way, they can set up their homes, their social networks, their workplaces, to engineer their unconscious choices so they're marginally better throughout the day. And that adds up to a ton. We have 72 cities in America. Insurance companies hire us to do this on a population level. And we've been successful at lowering healthcare costs in entire cities by 40% and saving literally hundreds of millions of dollars in Fort Worth, Texas. You can Google Blue Zones in Fort Worth, Texas, and it's been measured. The Blue Zone Challenge, the idea was to aggregate all of this research, all of the sort of nudges and defaults you can set it up for individuals.
There's this little area in Ireland called Greystones. It's not too far from our house, but there's a real... I get a real Blue Zone vibe from Greystone. So there's a really strong sense of community. They go sea swimming in the morning. There's these two guys called the Happy Pair, and they make loads
of... Oh, yeah, I know the Happy Pair. I love those guys. Twins. Yeah. They're wonderfully goofy, but also incredibly endearing.
Yeah, exactly. That's them to a T. But... And they have like busloads of Americans arriving to Greystones because they featured on some Netflix show. But so there's this real kind of Blue Zones vibe in Greystones. So you're kind of going out and creating these Blue Zones across the world.
Yes. Well, it's right now only in the United States. And then we by extension, people's homes. Ireland, by the way, has the bones of a Blue Zone, the entire country. Why? Because your cities, most of them, have grown organically through foot traffic. So, you know, people in Blue Zones don't exercise, but they're moving every 20 minutes or so mindlessly and keeping their metabolism at a higher rate. So they're mindlessly burning fat and avoiding obesity. Not because they're going to CrossFit, but because every time they go to work or a friend's house or out to eat, it occasions a walk. They have gardens out back. And when you look at a typical Irish town, it's still very much set up for streets built for human beings. Now, automobiles have come along and you know, traffic planners have let the automobile take over a little bit too much. But it's so easy to revert back to cities for human. And that's, you know, you can get about 90% of the value of training for a marathon by just having walkable and bikeable streets. Very hard to do that in many American cities because they were all designed for the car since the Eisenhower administration, but not Ireland. And the Happy Pair, by the way, they're not only Blue Zones because because of where they live, but they're also plant-based guys, and they understand the incredible health benefits you get by moving away from a processed, sugary, fatty, meaty diet to a whole plant-based diet.
And Dan, you speak about like the four foods to avoid. Can you share that with us?
Yes. So first of all, I don't tell people they can never eat these foods. I just say don't bring it into your home and you avoid about 60 or 70% of the temptation to eat these foods. So number one, packaged sweets. Sweets are sugar is arguably the most toxic ingredient in our food environment right now. Not to say you can't go have a cookie when you go out or get an ice cream cone or something. Don't have it in your house. Number two, and by extension, sugar sweetened beverages or soda pops. They are the number one source of refined sugar in the American diet, and I'm sure by extension, the Irish diet. Number three, processed meats. That's your lunch meat, your bacon, your sausage. Those foods are considered by the World Health Organization known carcinogens in the same category as tobacco. And then finally, salty chips, the potato chips and Doritos and that sort of thing. Don't know exactly why, but they're most high, the consumption of them are most highly correlated with obesity. Again, everybody should treat themselves. And people in these blue zones who are living a long time, every once in a while, they go nuts and they eat a bunch of sweets or, you know, kill a pig and pork out. But their day-to-day, their day-to-day food are things like beans and grains and nuts and tubers like potatoes. By the way, I understand people have eaten a potato or two in Ireland over time.
Yeah, we're big fans. My husband makes the best potatoes. I'm like, you should open some sort of shop.
No wonder you married him.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have to come over, Dan.
I'm in.
Yeah. Have you been to Ireland?
I've never been to Ireland. No, I would love to come sometime.
Yeah, you have to put it on your list. One of my favorite things from the Blue Zones Challenge is when you spoke about the Blue Zone in California, where they take, correct me if I'm wrong, but they take a 24-hour break once a week and take time off from stress and work and just concentrate on family. And I think that's something that maybe in Ireland that we could lean into. We could say, okay, for 24 hours in a 7-day period, I'm going to make an effort to put down my phone. I'm going to get present with the people around me. I'm going to make some good food and I'm going to connect with joy.
Yes, this is very, you're referring to the Seventh-day Adventist in Loma Linda, California. And they celebrate their Sabbath on from sunset Friday till sunset Saturday, during which they focus, they don't turn off the TVs, they focus on their family. Friday night, Saturday, most of Saturday morning is with their religious congregations. They have a potluck, mostly plant-based potluck on Saturday afternoon. And then later Saturday afternoon, this is hardwired right in their scriptures, they take a nature walk until the sun goes down and then they go back to their normal life. This is very easy for most people listening today because most people belong to a religion, and a Sabbath is a very natural time to do this. I mean, Christians, if you read the Old Testament, God says that Sundays, but it's actually the seventh day, which is technically Saturday, but for most other Christians, it's Sunday. It's a day of rest. So why not turn off the TV? Why not focus on your family? Why might not make that the day where you downshift? And the power of Sabbath, it gives us an easy mnemonic, easy way to remember it. And most of us also have a social circle around our religion, and getting more involved with the people at church or mosque or temple, if you're Jewish on Saturday, and take that seriously. It's one of the more powerful ways to bake this type of behavior, this type of downshifting, stress relieving, focus on diet, building up social network. One of the most powerful things you can do. And remember, when it comes to longevity, Georgie, there's no short-term fix. There's no pill. There's no supplement. There's nothing on the scientific horizon that's been shown to slow or reverse aging. So if you want to live longer, it has to be things that you're going to do for years or decades. And people who get involved with religions, they tend to be involved for a lifetime, and they tend to show up every week. So it's a beautiful opportunity for that weekly downshift.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, during the pandemic, it helped us establish what we missed. So like, we missed people, we missed, you know, calling over to our mom's house and sitting on the couch and having a chat and a cup of tea. And it also gave us an opportunity to think about what we didn't miss. So like, you know, the busyness or maybe the chaotic life and things like that. But with my brand, The Good Glow, I found that, you know, running events and running retreats, I get messages all the time from people who say, I want to come alone, but I'm scared. And I would say this is where you will meet like-minded people.
Yes.
And you speak about this in terms of Moais, where it's a like-minded group of people that you can connect with and be friends with. How can we kind of get the courage to go and find who our Moai is?
It's not easy. I will say that, but it's also not easy trying to stick to a diet plan, or it's not easy to show up to a gym for 3 years to lose weight either. But when you look at the evidence of what really works at getting healthier or even happier, your social circle drives it over time way more than trying to get on a diet or an exercise plan. So we know that your three best friends are going to, if your three best friends are obese and unhealthy, there's 150% better chance that you'll be overweight yourself. Unhappiness is contagious. Drug use, alcohol abuse, even unhappiness is, they're all, loneliness rather, are also contagious. So saying to yourself, this is hard, but if I make three new friends who, number one, their idea of recreation is walking or gardening or playing pickleball or bicycling, if they're care about you on a bad day, and if they're eating mostly a whole food plant-based diet, you're going to do that mindlessly every time you're with them. You're going to have a massive influence to do these right. So all you need to do is make that friendship. How do you do it? A few ways that work when you get to be middle age: volunteer for an organization that you care about. You care about animals, you go to the animal shelter and say, let me walk dogs. I guarantee you're going to meet other people who love dogs and you're going to have a connection point. You care about feeding the hungry, food shelves. We have them all over America. Joining a sport, joining a bicycle club, a pickleball club, a tennis club, you're going to meet like-minded people. It takes a little energy to get over that hump, but once you do it, it's like a flywheel. And then lastly, if most of us sit down and go through our social circle and think about who is healthy that you might actually want to spend some time with and just invite them out to lunch. And if the lunch goes well, say, you know, would you mind if we do this once a month? It will happen. There's a psychological term known as propinquity. The more time we spend with somebody, the more likely they're going to become our friends. It's up to us to make that initial effort the first half a dozen times. But after that, it's either A, going to fail catastrophically, that in a minority, or you guys are going to become friends. And
yeah,
that's good. That could last a lifetime.
Because I was even thinking, I don't know if I heard you say it before, but you can create a WhatsApp group. So say, for example, I love cooking and I love discovering new recipes, especially when it comes to like beans and healthy food and things like that. My sister-in-law, Jean, loves cooking. And then I have a friend, Fiona, who loves cooking. And then I have a former colleague that loves cooking. So if you kind of put all those people together in a little group, share recipes, that could lead to, you know, you meeting up once a month and everyone bringing a dish, and there you've created a Moai.
That's a great idea. The important part of that is you got to take it out of your handheld device,
yeah,
and bring it into the real world. You need the face-to-face human presence to make it really work.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I hope you're enjoying Dan. I just wanted to take a short break to thank Vichy for supporting me and The Good Glow this season. I wanted to tell you about their iconic hydration serum, Mineral 89, which I use every morning and every evening. It's enriched with hyaluronic acid and 89% Vichy volcanic water, which is naturally found in French volcanoes and rich in 15 minerals essential to skin health. This beautifully light gel serum gives your skin immediate hydration and glow. Think of it as a daily multi-mineral for your skin. The perfect first step in any skincare routine.
suitable for all skin types, and it can be used every morning and or night after cleansing your skin. For a 20% discount on all Mineral 89 products, use the discount code GOODGLOW20 on marspharmacy.ie for online purchases only.
And Dan, when it comes to your life, and I'm always fascinated, I love following you on Instagram and seeing, I think you're such a social person. So can you just tell us, like, what's kind of a day in the life of Dan?
I start my day reading the newspaper and drinking a cup of black coffee. I think coffee is one of the few indulgences that we can enjoy with impunity. My first meal of the day is a minestrone, a Sardinian minestrone, which is a chutney soup, very low glycemic index, full of protein and fiber. I don't start with bacon or eggs or cereal. And, you know, I'm still really engaged in my work. I'm writing another book right now. I'm writing an article for National Geographic. So at the moment, I spend 3 or 4 hours writing. I also have correspondences I'll do in the afternoon. But then by about 3 or 4, I do something I love every day in the way of physical activity. But I make it a point, if I'm saying to myself, God, I don't want to stand up paddle surfing today, or if I don't want to go in the weight room, or I don't want to do yoga, I don't do it. But I do something that I enjoy every day. Why? Because if I look forward to it, I know I'll do it. If it becomes a chore, I'll know I'll stop doing it eventually. The last thing is I have dinners with people every night. Every night I have dinner. I'm often pretty alone all day long, but every night I either pull people together for what I call Jeffersonian dinners, or I go out and I have a half a dozen healthy restaurants around my home here, and I make it a point to meet a group of people.
And tell us about those Jeffersonian dinners. They sound very interesting.
Thomas Jefferson, a former president of the United States, one of the first founding fathers, as they call him, he grew hard of hearing as he got older, and he couldn't stand these dinner parties where everybody lapsed into their own private little conversation, and it just sounds like a bunch of squirrels chattering by the end of the night. And he said he would invite people over, and either ahead of time or began the dinner by saying, we're going to have one topic we're going to talk about. And he had one table conversations. It could be inequality. It could be the secret to longevity. It could be, tell me about your favorite vacation. But at the end of the day, it draws people into a mutually conversation that develops ideas and develops thoughts. And people walk away, feel enlivened, not just another business contact or another chatty gossip exchange, but real sort of nutritious conversation in addition to the food.
And do you cook at these dinner parties?
I do. Yes. I've written a couple cookbooks, and I like to treat people to Blue Zones food, because I'm a big believer, if you want to get people eating plant-based, don't try to guilt them. Don't try to tell them this is your way to health, although I do that quite a bit. The most effective way is to feed them, and feed them food they're going to love, and send them away with the recipe, and the rest works itself out.
Yeah, because I think in Ireland, you'd be reluctant to invite people over for dinner every night because they'd never go home. How do you get people out?
I need to spend more time there.
See, I think Americans are really good at going home, because we have American friends in Rhode Island. And every time we go over, they have dinner parties like numerous times a week. But at, you know, 10 o'clock on the dot, everyone goes home to bed. That just never happens in Ireland.
What if you stop serving whiskey?
Yeah, that's right. Only buy one bottle of wine instead of five. Another thing that you speak about in the Blue Zones is having that sense of purpose. And I think, you know, we see all these people like Jay Shetty and Tony Robbins and everyone talking about purpose, purpose, purpose. And sometimes I think it puts so much pressure on people because, you know, what if your job doesn't give you purpose, or what if you feel like you don't have any? Where do you go from there?
I think Jay Shetty is directionally correct in pointing out the importance of purpose. And it was certainly something we saw in all Blue Zones. Ikigai, for example, was an Okinawan word for purpose. But it's almost become a cliche. What does it actually mean? My definition of purpose is the convergence of your values, what you like to do, what you're good at doing, and a meaningful outlet for those gifts in a way that helps the bigger world, or at least puts those gifts to work. And I outline it in the Blue Zone Challenge a little bit, but sitting down with a blank screen or a blank piece of paper, put four columns, my values, list those out, just a couple words, list out what you actually like to do, list out what you're good at. It might be resolving conflict. It might be cooking. It might be nurturing people. It might be having the first idea. And then a list for when you get those three columns, you start to look for the commonalities and actually circle the commonalities. And then you separately list the fourth column. Where can I put these gifts to work? Because in America, and I suspect Ireland is not too far behind in America, only about 30% of us actually are able to put our purpose to work at our jobs. So most of us are showing up to work and then get home, and a lot of us are busy, and we really miss that soul-feeding activity that puts our purpose to work. And unless you're volunteering or have some time for a great hobby, you're missing a lot of good life. So getting clear on that purpose, this is going to sound radical, but if you're not getting purpose at work, I say quit. You spend most of your waking hours at work, and if you're not putting your purpose to work there, money only buys happiness to about 40,000 pounds a year, more or less. So if you can find some other job that makes enough money to cover your basic needs and a little left over to treat yourself once in a while, you should get a different job. And that sounds radical, but in the scheme of things, it's the best investment in your happiness and ultimately your health. We know that people who know and live their sense of purpose live about 8 years longer than people who are rudderless in life. And if you really cannot change your job, then make that effort to find a place once again to put your purpose to work, volunteering or some other passion.
Mm. Because then if you find another way, say it is volunteering, that could lead you to another job eventually, which you're happier
That's right.
in. You know, Dan, like, I know you love food and I'm really excited to ask you about your project that you have coming up when it comes to Whole Foods. And I think sometimes we forget that some people don't know what Whole Foods are because it's just become this phrase now. But what actually is a Whole Food?
It's essentially something that comes out of the ground, or it's a nut or a seed or a grain or a tuber that has been unadulterated by humans. We just pick it and cook it. The five pillars of every longevity diet in the world, and we did a meta-analysis, are the five following ingredients. Greens, whole grains like brown rice, whole grain wheat, even whole grain corn we see in Costa Rica. Tubers like potatoes and sweet potatoes. Actually, I believe potatoes are net positive if you eat them in their original form and not fry them. Nuts, a handful of nuts a day is worth about 2 extra years of life expectancy. And especially, I think the greatest longevity food in the world is beans. We know people eat about a cup of beans a day, live about 4 years longer than people who don't eat beans. So if you base your diet around that, I wrote this book called The Blue Zone Kitchen, where I actually went back to all five Blue Zones to find out what people have been eating over time. And it's these five food groups. But the most important ingredient in any longevity diet is not beans or nuts or grains or any of that. It's taste. Because I could tell you beans are the healthiest thing in the world, but if you eat crappy, you know, English beans and you don't like them, you might force yourself to eat them for a month or two, but you're going to quit. But now if you learn how to make a Sardinian minestrone was three beans and tomatoes and mirepoix and finished with a beautiful extra virgin olive oil, or longevity stew in Icaria made with fennel and caramelized onions and black-eyed peas, and also that has tomato, and you taste it, it's rich and wonderful texture and nuanced flavors. I don't have to convince you to eat them anymore. So for both Blue Zone's Kitchen and the forthcoming Blue Zone American Kitchen, I went and sought out these recipes for longevity with a maniacal attention to deliciousness. If it wasn't delicious, it did not go in the, because at the end of the day, if you're not doing it for decades, don't waste your time. So yeah. If I show people delicious food, I don't have to talk them into it a second time.
It's funny because I hated, well, I told myself I hated beans before I did my podcast with you, my original podcast. Then I was like, no, look, do you know what? I'm going to try beans. And now I say to Jamie all the time, every time I eat a bean, I think about Dan, because I eat them now nearly 4 or 5 times a week.
I love it.
And I think I tag you all the time in my bean food. And I'll share a recipe actually this week for gorgeous like bean sweet potato burgers. I know you have that in your Blue Zones Challenge book. But for someone who just maybe has told themselves their whole life that they don't like beans, this could be the way in the door with this recipe that I'll share. But tell us about, because I feel like the Irish diet has really become so Americanized, but tell us about this new book that you have.
So in America, about 750,000 Americans die prematurely every year from the standard American diet. And I'm apologizing to Ireland right now for exporting this lethal way of eating. But it turns out in America, about 100 years ago, among the African American, Asian, Latinos, and Native Americans, they were eating a Blue Zone diet. People don't realize this, but we went in NYU archives and we found these dietary surveys done in about 1900. And among these ethnicities, they were combining grains and greens and beans and tubers and making delicious food that has evolved over the millennia to taste delicious. Nobody likes to eat undelicious food, but those recipes and that way of eating has largely disappeared. So National Geographic photographer David McLean and I, along with a small team of researchers, we found about 60 of these historian chefs, and we got in a small Sprinter van, and David and I went from the Northeast to the Southwest, from the Northwest to the Southeast. We crisscrossed America during the pandemic, and we took gorgeous photography, but more important, we gathered gorgeous recipes from these ethnicities that possess this incredible treasure trove of health and longevity, but it's largely forgotten, and we brought it back in this book, The Blue Zones American Kitchen.
Wow. And I bought your Blue Zones, the recipe book for everyone in my family last year for Christmas. So I'll be buying that one for everyone for this Christmas. And I'm going to leave a link to that book. It's available for pre-order now in the episode show notes. Do you have a favorite recipe from that book, Dan?
Yeah, there's a collard greens and beans that the Gullah Geechee make, but they add a vinegar, a little bit of vinegar that seems to add some sort of richness. They add very hot peppers from Africa, and then fermented sesame seeds. They're called the Benny beans, also from Africa. You don't have to have the fermented beans. You could add fermented sesame seed. You could add miso, but okay. That symphony of hot and a little bit acidic, and then the umami from either miso or from the fermented sesame seeds creates this absolute Mardi Gras party in your mouth. And your microbiome loves it and rewards you with a more nuanced immune system, muted inflammation, and actually better mood.
Oh, wow.
A good glow. I might a good glow, sum it up.
Yes. And I was just going to say there that, like, do you, like, I feel like you just belong on TV, Dan. Like, what, is there anything coming up in the future? Like, what's the future for you? I know you're a writer and you love to do that, but, you know, have you got anything coming up soon that we can look out for?
Yeah, I have I just filmed a 4-part Netflix series that'll be out probably the spring of next year. It'll be called Blue Zones, and we go back to all the Blue Zones and reveal the secrets, the updated secrets.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you get Netflix over there, you can watch it for free.
Okay, awesome. Dan, thank you so much for your time. You're so good to me in The Good Glow. And I hope if you come to Dublin, we can get the happy pair down for a Jefferson dinner in my house.
I'm in. And we'll let people stay late.
Yeah, okay. Just once. Dan, thank you so much. I'm dying for your new book. And thanks for, I suppose what I love about what you do is that you help us connect with what's important in life. And it's just so easy to do. You know, I think by learning the Blue Zone way, you can bring so much to your life and you don't have to suffer in order to do that.
Yeah, I've captured human rhythms as practiced for hundreds of years. And some of it is probably encompassed in what your grandmother did and great grandma did, and habits and ways of eating and social norms. They have been around for thousands of years for a reason, because they favor human well-being. And I've just tried to aggregate them in a way that has they're underpinned by evidence and they're easy to put to work in our modern lives. And they really seem to be working. And just to remind people, and once again, you don't have to spend a lot of money on expensive diets and gimmicky superfoods and supplements and much easier ways to do it. And it comes from setting up your life the right way. Organize your surroundings in a way where the healthy choice is not only the easy choice, but sometimes the unavoidable choice. And sometimes that means walking with a friend.
Yeah. And Dan, just before I let you go, I've been asking my guests about their last 5-star moment. So like a moment where like everything was just perfect. Do you have a recent 5-star moment that you could share with us?
2 nights ago, a friend and I got on our bicycles and we rode down a trail through the forest. And it came to a small town in Wisconsin, and we found a supper club on a lake, and none of this was planned. And it was a beautiful summer evening, and we had a wonderful dinner, and we biked back as the sun was setting, and it was so simple and so beautiful, and we both felt re-energized after that. And yes, that was my 5-star moment.
Wow. What's a supper club?
The supper club, it's a remnant of the 50s and the 60s, but it was typically a place. It's usually on a lake. On the weekends, they have maybe a band playing or people danced. And it's, I guess, just a restaurant plus, for lack of a better.
Okay.
They tend to be made richly paneled. And they tend to be around resort areas. So it's, it's just a special night out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that moment with us, Dan. And I have no doubt that you'll be back on The Good Glow again. And hopefully we'll get to meet in person someday.
Anytime, Georgia. Real delight to see you again. And enjoy the south of Spain.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hasta luego.
Adios.
Adios.
Thank you so much to Dan for joining me on The Good Glow today, and I can't wait to get my hands on his new book. We've launched the September reset. We're getting underway on September 5th. I'm going to be your coach for 14 days. And this is going to be a perfect opportunity to re-energize, refocus, and discover what we can bring to our lives for the last 4 months of the year. There's more info over on thegoodglow.ie. Thanks to Vichy for the support, and I'll see you next week.